Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
What's going on, guys? Welcome to the show. Everything is falling apart. We worked so hard and it's all falling apart in front of us, and we're here to talk about it with you. It's AfterBuzz TV. It's season 2, episode 5 of Riverdale. Hang out with us, guys. We're going to break the whole thing down for you. We'll see you in just one second.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Rent's my favorite musical, so I will see us Floyd today. Thank you so much, Joking to Put the Cast. Appreciate it.
Welcome to the show, guys. Welcome to AfterBuzz TV. We're here to talk about Rent. We're here to talk about Riverdale.
Fist pump
Rent. One song, Glory. 525,000. Let's talk about the show. Yeah. So, anyway, guys, we're here to talk about Riverdale. I'm gonna go here. We're at season 2. It's episode 5, When a Stranger Calls. So it's an exciting episode. There's elements in this show so far that I think are really special. When they've taken, they keep taking these moments from like movies and TV that I've seen over the years and kind of inserting them in. We talked a lot about how the Zodiac Killer was so prominent this season, and like they really even threw to that. Like certain scenes felt like they were literally from the David Fincher movie. And I was trying to put my finger on it tonight. A lot of the stuff with this phone call and with Betty and the way that her scenes were set up with that guy, I feel like I've seen that in something. I like know what it is, but I can't put my finger on it.
Yeah.
And I like that they're doing that. I think I was noticing this the other day too. Like I was walking through Beverly Center and they had ads for Riverdale up, and it was saying, you know, it's the beautifully shot show or something. Some critic was like, the cinematography is amazing. And I was thinking about the color scheme of the show. And they do a really good job stylistically. Like it looks great. It feels and it looks super consistent. Do you know what I mean?
Well, let's not forget what you said after the show is over, that this puts all of those shows to shame.
Yeah, it's leaps and bounds above anything else on TV. Anyway, I'm rambling, guys. Welcome to the show. We're gonna get into the full episode with you. But before we do, I want to introduce the entire panel. We're going to start with the amp man himself, the hype man himself, Mr. Frank Moran. How you doing, man?
Let's get amped, everybody.
Yes,
very excited. Things might be falling apart on the show, but we're Riverdale strong right here on the panel. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at HappyGoJackie.
Yes, to quote the show, what is it? Unity something? In unity there is strength. Yes. That's how we are.
Well, there you go.
All right, next
up. We're going to punch each other in the gut in a minute.
We are definitely Riverdale strong in this panel today. Hey guys, I am Shay Jones. You can find me at Real Shay Jones on Twitter and Instagram. And if you notice my shirt, I am Pop's Chocolate. Hold up, I said it right.
Chocolate Shop. Yeah, it's lit. You're lit.
Chocolate
lit.
Shop.
The episode's lit. Or light.
We
have a very special first-time host on this panel. We have Tessa Savall. Welcome to the panel.
Yay. So excited to be here. You guys can find me on all social media at Tessa_Savall.
Do you love Riverdale?
I love Riverdale.
Well, we love having you. You're going to have to fight Shay and Frank for your enthusiasm.
That's right.
Because they're like the hype on that side of the table.
Well, I'm ready for the challenge.
We do need her to reach into the glass case with the snake.
Yeah. If you want to do the gauntlet, we won't get physically around it, but I don't know, we can come up with something. You guys can find me at Ben Bateman Media, Twitter, Instagram, what have you, here on AfterBuzz and Popcorn Talk, whatnot. I love this show. There were so many thoughts. This episode really addressed a lot of different things. I appreciated the fact that in the social climate we're in, that this show addressed sexual assault. I thought that was, and I know that obviously they planned this far ahead of the time that the Weinstein allegations broke, so it's not like it's, but it just felt timely. I don't know. Yeah. The episode felt timely, and I appreciate the fact that this show continues to like toe the line between, you know, serial killers and real life problems and things that happen, and you know, CW teen drama, which is like obviously that's the bubblegum stuff that makes the show work, but then what we're watching is real stuff, and I appreciate that. I really, really am liking the show right now.
Well, what I thought was interesting in this episode, because I think the whole thing with the relationships, you're wondering how are they going to handle like Betty and Jughead, Archie and Veronica, like breaking up those relationships at all.
Yeah.
And I felt like this, I mean, you kind of have this whole thing with the Black Hood. But before he pulled the trigger on ending the relationship, you already start seeing the cracks kind of forming between Betty and Jughead. This episode kind of keeping some stuff secret about what they're doing in their personal lives from each other.
Right. There's a
Joe Paz.
Yeah. That's what we're talking about. Joe Paz brewing, and we can all feel it. At one point, I looked over, and I was like, is this how we see the couple switch? Because I do think it'd be a little early to see the four main characters just switch by the end of the season. Mm-hmm. But it could happen. I mean, what do you think? Where's your head been at with this whole thing? I've been saying since the beginning that Betty and Archie end up at the end of the show together. What do you think? You agree?
I completely agree with you. Okay. Yeah. I kind of feel for Veronica, though, because I feel like she's so, like, lost in the situation in a sense of, like, I feel like she doesn't completely fit. Like, I just always see Archie and Betty, like...
Right.
So tight. And then Jughead, I just feel like he's such a loner at times, and he doesn't really want a girlfriend because he's, like, figuring out himself. But that's my take on it.
He's kind of like Cole Sprouse, who took 4 years off of social media and just posted pictures of his photography. Like,
you know. I mean, he got some lit photography. Give it up.
He's good.
The shots was fantastic.
I've been tweeting at him a lot to get him on here. Would you guys do the same and let him know how badly we want him on here? We want Cole Sprouse on the show so
much. That's right.
He plays Magic the Gathering, by the way, which I have a podcast about, and I was tweeting at him about Magic to see if I could maybe like pique his interest there because it's way less mainstream. No response. I'll keep working on it.
All right. I think he's just nervous.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to... I mean, Ben's got a show about this.
He's intimidated.
Talk about it, yeah.
About Riverdale. He's intimidated to come here because we have a show about Riverdale. Yeah,
that's right.
Mr. O in the chat wants to know what was everybody's favorite part of the episode.
Oh, through and through for me, it was the Pussycats beating the crap out of Nick St. Clair on the floor. That was so effective. I thought that was. It made me so happy. Just no holds barred. They're just literally just kicking the crap out of him on the ground. It was a big fist pump for me. And Archie lifting weights.
That right there. Yes. I never saw you. It's been a long time since I've seen you get that excited about a moment in Riverdale. But when those arm curls are coming out, like, yes.
Do you think that they joke about that on set? Because I feel like... Because I definitely feel like the Archie, being jacked moments in this show... It's so ridiculously and hilariously out of place whenever it happens. It's like, it just, I mean, okay, if he's got his shirt off and he's with Veronica, so be it. Like, that's a sex scene. But him, like, running shirtless at night, or, like, just, especially, just, where was the scene that he needed to watch him pumping iron? It was basically an insert. It's just like, Archie's at home lifting weights.
Well, that's why I wonder, like, in the writer's room.
Walk me to school.
Good for doing anything.
When they're breaking down the episode in the writer's room, I'm just wondering, like... We don't have an episode where, or a scene where Archie gets jacked or he runs around with the shirt off. Where can we fit that in the episode?
It's excellent.
Yes. Sneak it right in there.
Yeah, because I mean, every episode we get something, you know, the pseudo gay porn, like the Red Hood moment was.
I love that. That is just one of my highlights of that entire series so far.
It was,
yes.
No, I think we all felt pretty strongly. That was a good choice on the writer's part. It's a lot of humor in this show.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. So
we have a lot of questionable decisions in that video. That's all I'm going to say.
It was great. Yeah. So we digress. Let's cover the episode. So I think we probably start with the phantom caller, the black hood, and these calls that Betty's getting. Can we all just agree that her ringtone is just fantastic?
It's great.
I was laughing every time.
It's great.
I was like, just why that though? But specifically, why the 50s not? Like, I'm trying to understand the
and
choice.
Also, don't you think that if it had happened to you, like, okay, you got like one of those phone calls, you're in a really depressed and dark mood, and you hear the song again, you would be so like, just like, no! Yeah. And you would just turn it to like a regular ringer, or you'd just turn your ringer off, just to put it on vibrate?
Yes.
You would think, but she's not thinking straight, clearly. So we have a lot of drama coming. She gets these phone calls and she has to start cutting people out of her life systematically. She loses her best friends and she's like, we'll walk it back. Well, I actually thought that she did a really, really, really good job in this episode. I was pretty impressed. Overall, I thought a lot of her emotional scenes were like pretty believable. She seemed very distraught.
Well, I feel like those scenes are always kind of interesting to like, how do you make her go in that direction, but not make her look like a complete idiot or make her, as she's trying to do this, just seem over the top and not really believable. And I thought I agree. She did a good job of selling each of those moments when she was trying to distance herself from either her mom or Veronica.
She nailed it. Here's the question. You mentioned that she doesn't come off as stupid. I think she's come off as extremely stupid 2 episodes in a row.
Yes.
What do you think? I think her decision-making in regards to the fact that she's basically... It just doesn't make any sense to me.
I just honestly am flabbergasted how she doesn't seem that scared in a way. I think that's my big thing. I'm like, if I knew someone was calling me and essentially watching me, I don't know why I would keep bringing Archie over. Like, it's like when at the end of the episode when he was like, I know about Archie, I'm like, well, duh, if you've been watching everyone else.
Right.
I don't know. I guess stupid is a good word.
I mean, but in her defense, you didn't say I couldn't tell Archie. You just said not to tell Jughead and Veronica.
Come on.
Right.
Just systematically, your words were not to tell Veronica, not to tell the police, my mom, and Jughead. You left Archie out. Either you did it on purpose, or you knew I was going to do it anyway.
There was major issues here, guys. There was the fact that, so, I keep saying this. All right, so Black Hood has killed someone. We know for a fact that he's murdered one person. He shot at two others. Like, he's a dangerous dude. And
right.
She knows, or she's assuming this is him. So, like, concealing the letter in the first place, we all talked about last week, that didn't make any sense. Mm-hmm. Now she's getting phone calls, and she's ruining relationships in her life to prevent this guy from doing anything. But it's like, you're going to just go to an abandoned house where he says he is? Betty, what is the...
Fire. That's like every horror film mistake. Like, I don't want to be Randy from Scream, but like, dude, like, have you ever watched a horror film? You don't go to no abandoned place by yourself.
He didn't say, like, mm-hmm. go to this, like, park bench in public and you'll find in a gift box the truth who I am. He's like, go to an abandoned house by yourself. He doesn't even say, I promise you'll be safe. It's like, I promise I won't do anything bad to you. He didn't even say that. He just said, go to the
that
house.
That is very true.
True. So, like, that part, point. Not the smartest thing, but her not reaching out to the cops or telling anybody else and just doing what he said, do you think that was stupid? Or, I mean, because he does have the idea, he has a scoop on where Polly is. I mean, that's the whole motivation. You go and tell anybody, I know exactly where Polly is, and I'll hurt her.
Right. But yeah, because she doesn't know how to, I just don't know. Like, I wonder, I guess, yeah, she's terrified. I mean, I don't know. You toe the line sometimes between these kids are, like, 16, and you're like, but then also they're basically their own police force, and they're so smart. They like, so you're like, you're 16, but you're also like the smartest people in every room, it seems like.
Yeah, but even the smartest people can make the stupidest decisions when fear is the main factor. Fear makes people do the stupidest things.
Yeah, like Jughead's leaving Betty to go with Tony Topaz. That's a stupid decision.
I mean, technically, she had Archie break up with him.
Yeah.
Which I'm just like, I understand why she did it, because like, I feel like if she did go to Jughead herself, like she would talk herself out of it, or he would talk her out of it in some type of way. So the only way to do it is send your best friend to deliver this news. But
Jughead was broken up with for like a few hours before he went
to
another girl.
That is true.
Girl.
That's like
come
too
on.
Much of a rebound. But like, you gotta admit, like, Tony has been like circling. She's been like, she's a serpent. She's been waiting on that moment where she can just come on in.
She's been lurking. Mm-hmm. I agree. I wrote, she's been lurking is one of my notes. let's not move off of this, the Betty Blackwood storyline. We'll get to the Jughead stuff in a second. Yeah, so they published this article. So let's talk about that for a second, the Alice Cooper article. Because we knew Alice had been a serpent, right? We all, I think from the last season, we knew she was from the South Side. I loved the Alice entering the fundraiser.
That was my favorite
moment.
Scene. Everything.
Fire, right?
You better have a snake skin suit, and you better have a snake necklace, and say, Hal, go buy any business.
Shove it, Hal. We all thought, were we all like positive it was Cheryl?
I thought it was Cheryl.
I thought it was Cheryl.
I thought it was
too.
Her making a statement because, oh, I'm going to be the life of the party. Mm-hmm. Lies. You better work it, Alice. That's all I have to say, because that was the best entrance ever.
Imagine looked good. She looked really good. I gotta say.
Oh, like her entrance, she didn't have like that smug or like, yeah, I'm bringing it kind of look on her face.
Yeah.
She was just kind of like walking, kind of like, I'm just walking in this party right now. I'm like, well, didn't really feel like you're just like, you know, really strutting it and owning it.
Do you know one of my favorite things about shows like this that are about like a small town or even, not even a small town necessarily, like the OC was like this because it was like, you know, Laguna, right? That was a small town, but it was like a suburb. It seems that at every single function, party, anything, every character's there, which is great. It's like you can trust that no matter what, when you show up somewhere, everyone you know will be there. So it's like if you want to make an impression on literally everyone, just show up to anything. It's just literally any like city function, and the entire town will be there. No one will ever be missing. No one's ever out of town. You just get to make an impression on everyone in one moment. I love it.
I mean, when she does tell Hal to shove it, though, I just felt like we never really. I mean, I know they were kind of rocky footing last season, but at least they seem to have kind of reconciled. At least,
a little bit.
So to feel like her just telling him to shove it without any seeing like any like discussion between the two of them, felt like. Man, why are you throwing Hal under the bus for nothing? It
Lachlan,
like.
He didn't deserve that.
Yeah.
I agree.
Agreed.
We'll see.
Oh, you think he maybe deserved it?
I mean, once we find out more details?
I'm not saying he didn't deserve it or he did deserve it. What I'm saying is that the conversation they could have had, she might not have agreed with the decision not to come to the party.
Right.
Okay. He could have just set that to Hiram to say it.
Right. Agreed. Maybe he said to stay home. Or, you know, he's trying to control her. Mm-hmm. He's been very controlling in his life.
True.
Okay. Section 3. Get more amped.
Yes!
all right. So pretty much we go here. Betty systematically, one by one. So let's talk about that scene at the party where she just lets loose on Veronica. She spits some venom. I don't even know how you... She really didn't need to go that hard. She, like, didn't even need to go remotely that hard. Do you think that she... Like, how much less venom do you think she could have spewed at Veronica to still get the same result?
I don't know. It was just mean. I just was like... She just kept going. I think she could have just said one line and it would have been fine. But, like, she really sealed the deal by just letting it.
I mean, she, like, the dirty laundry, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I wonder what she... Because she's...
I mean, that cut deep.
Well, I mean, Veronica did give her a great opportunity. She teed up a bunch of stuff Betty to be able to use as ammunition.
It was like, you knew she had the gun, and yet you gave her the bullets.
Right.
Like,
I just wonder, like, with, you know, can they come back from that? Because it's like, you say that publicly, all those things in front of so many people. I mean, even if you are trying to get rid of Veronica, like, you could have done it with, I don't know, 20% of those things.
Yeah. True,
that was a dark Betty moment.
Yeah, big time.
Mm-hmm. Big time. Full, like, dark Betty stars. Came through, right. And she didn't stop until she left.
Yeah, I agree.
I feel like the reasons behind her saying what she did, even though they're incredibly hurtful, once the truth does come out at some point, that's going to be a huge help in kind of mending any fences that are there.
Right.
I agree.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, when you talk to friends that have been kind of mad at you, and then you find out later that, you know, they were somebody was threatening to kill you if they didn't, you know, get mad at you. I mean, we've all been there.
Right.
You know?
Okay. Yeah.
So there was an important moment right after she says all of it, and Veronica looks at Archie, and she's like, you can go after her if you want, and there's a minute where Archie considers it, because, like, pretty clearly that's what they're pushing us towards, is, like, the couple switch. I just don't really know in season 2, if we go with the couple switch, how... if we get a couple switch, how, like, that just seems too soon. I guess Veronica and Jughead won't be together.
No, because I guess that's the nice thing about having, like, a fifth person in the mix, is that you can kind of just shift things slightly without doing, like, a swap.
Who else could Jughead end up with?
Personally, I actually kind of root for Tony.
You think that she's
I think the way she's going about it is hella wrong. However, they almost are, like, the same freaking person. They just get each other naturally.
Mm-hmm.
Not to say, like, what Betty and Jughead isn't, like, as important, but, like, that's an instant chemistry you can't fake.
Joe Paz.
But
I also feel like Topaz is, like, one of those characters that's around for, you know, like, a little mini arc.
I agree. I feel like she's around for 7 episodes.
Yeah, and then she moves on, and then, you know, we see what happens next for Jughead.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. Mm-hmm. I'm just trying to think, in the context of the characters we do know, who could stick around long enough to have a relationship with Jughead other than Betty?
Cheryl. Would that just be... No, that'd be mocking, and it would just be not sense. Good at all.
Yeah.
Midge?
Too far.
Tughead or no Tughead, says Mr. O.
Tughead or... What?
Yeah.
Oh.
I think we all can agree that there's implications to the name Tughead we don't really want to get into, so let's just stay away from that one and stick with Joe Paz. I'm saying that in the chat right now. All right. So let's get to the last one of these... get out of my life moments, and Betty says to Archie, like, you need to get rid of Jughead for me, you need to get him off my tail, and Archie does. So similarly to the scene where Betty blows up Veronica, you feel like there's some truth to what she's saying. She believes some of it. The same way with Archie talking to Jughead, he believes some of it, right? He's, like, using the excuse, obviously, that's his moment, but you can hear a lot of what he's saying. He believes a lot of what he's saying. And I think that was what was interesting about those two scenes, is that you're setting the table for, like, these conflicts that maybe were, like, just right under the surface, but now you have an opportunity, and you're pushed a little bit more to say what you're thinking. So I don't think you're going to get to walk things back super easily after the truth comes out. I think there's going to be problems.
Well, I think, part of it, too, is that these people, like, both Jughead, Betty, and even Veronica, for a little bit, were kind of being a little shady about what they were really doing in these episodes and not really telling the friends for a scoop. So when these situations do come up, I mean, they, like I said before, they just kind of served up a lot of stuff for them to kind of use as amplifier for their attack on them.
Right.
But, you know, it's like, so you're right. It probably won't be as easy to walk it back. But, yeah, it's just it's a terrible circumstance where you're like, yeah, you want to break up, and then, or you want to, you know, break up a friendship or a relationship, and then they just are doing something terrible in that exact moment, which doesn't, like, makes it so much easier to break it up in the moment.
Right. Right. What do you guys do? Any comments on the Archie Jughead scene?
I agree with you in the fact that both what Betty said to Veronica, like, there's a kernel of truth, like, what they believe, but they never want to say, obviously, because they're friends. And Archie, like, what he said, like, so hurt Jughead. Like, he was so close to tears. It was so heartbreaking because, like, you guys are like brothers. But then you got to admit they had that whole year or so where they were on a break. They weren't friends. So it's like, it's also like that rift that was there before almost is coming back now.
Right.
And that's kind of sad to see.
Agreed. Yeah, it's like they haven't been close again for that long.
Yeah, I still don't know why Jughead is just like, I mean, I know nobody really wants him to be a serpent, but there are definitely reasons why he's doing it, especially when he wants to try to keep the peace between the north and the south side, why he just doesn't come clean with Betty, Archie, and Veronica. And said, this is what I'm, especially Betty and Archie, like, this is what I'm doing and why I'm doing it.
Right.
You may not necessarily agree with it, but, you know, I just want you to know what I'm doing.
For sure.
But I also think he doesn't think Betty will understand him. And if Betty tells her mom, it's a whole, like, World War III action in itself. But what I want to know is how come Jughead just can't be the mediator between the North and the South side?
It's too much violence.
You can't be a half serpent, man.
No, you can't. So,
but you can't be half North side. But, like, he is. He is half North. I mean, half North and half South. Like, you sometimes what you are is what you are, and you need to embrace it. You're not the same as the serpents, and you're not the same as the north side. Use it and embrace it.
So, that being said, that brings us to Jughead's initiation. He decides to become a serpent in this episode, officially go through the initiation process, all of it. Gets beat up, he has to take care of this dog.
Hot dog the third.
Hot dog.
Yeah, there are moments when you're saying it's like, yeah, the show's great, and then I also feel like they hit the fast forward button on things like this whole initiation was like from 0 to 60, like, yep, you're done. I'm like, oh, wow. All right. That was it.
Okay. The guy's like, you could never stand the initiation. Do you guys ever see that movie Hot Rod with Andy Samberg?
Yes.
It's like one of my favorite movies. And he, like, Isla Fisher comes in and he's like, Denise, you'd never stand the initiation process. She's like, what is it? He, like, dumps his Slurpee on her foot. He's like, you're officially in the club. It's like, that's like what it felt like a little bit. So Jughead tries to go through this whole process. One of my favorites is that you have, what's the guy with the long hair? The older
Tallboy.
Tallboy. You basically have Tallboy, some other characters, and like a full cast of 15-year-olds hanging out in a bar.
Yeah.
Just drinking beers. Like, like this, like the South Side is just so without rules. That, like, that's just, they're not like hanging out in someone's house. They're in like a public establishment just drinking. All of them. And like, that was great. I was like, that's what the South Side is, I guess.
And then you have to angrily yell the laws at each other.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
That's right.
In strength, there is unity. Rule number
six.
Oh, yeah, rule number five. You never leave another crasher behind. Or not, that's not what it was. Another, that's
another serpent.
Another serpent behind. Yeah, sorry, I'm tired. So Jughead has to go through this whole thing. He gets brass knuckled by Sweet Pea. Had we found out that guy's name was Sweet Pea to this point, or was that the first time?
Yes, Sweet Pea.
Okay, I just didn't pay attention.
It was Sweet Pea when she said it, I think, but she just said it once, so
maybe
it was kind of like,
ooh. Yeah, right. And so they finally accept the Jughead. The last thing was just we just all get to punch you a bunch of times.
I mean,
that was
it's a gang. I mean, it's a white person's gang, so I'll say that, but it's still a gang. Everybody got their own initiations.
Right.
Most of the time, it is going to be a beatdown to make sure you're strong enough.
Right.
But the brass knuckles, while appropriate, was a little much.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing about, like, any time in a show or a movie or whatever, you get hit in the face with brass knuckles, you probably lose a tooth. Now, you're never going to have Cole Sprouse lose a tooth on Riverdale, because that would be awful. But, like, you hit someone and you break your hand, like, these are things that happen in real life when people hit each other, and it never happens in shows like this. Like, last episode, I guess Dilton got stabbed in the leg, but, like, next time he's going to be fine. Like, he's going to be totally fine. But, like, the reality of the whole situation is, it's like, if you beat the crap out of someone, you probably mess their face up pretty bad. If you get hit in the face, I've never been hit in the face with brass knuckles. Any of you guys?
Can't say I have.
Can't say I have either.
The guy just, he probably broke his jaw in real life.
Well, and it was, like, what, the 20th punch he took to his
Seriously.
Face?
Seriously. Yeah.
That, like,
I mean, he got up and just was like, "What you got more for me?"
Right.
Like, I want more.
It's like, no, you don't.
He's a tough guy, though. I appreciated that. I appreciated that. That's, like, one of my favorite. Like, that's in every movie. That's like Tom Cruise in The Last Samurai. He refuses to go down. He keeps getting beat up. And he's
that's
got
right.
all the.
That's how you earn the respect.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, that's the trick. If anybody's ever beaten you up, just never go down.
Nope, you gotta just keep standing up.
Jean-Claude in Bloodsport keeps getting up.
That's right.
It's great. Yeah. So, all right, let's keep talking. What else? What else is going on with Jughead and the initiation? Am I forgetting anything?
Well, the snake.
Oh yeah, he gets bitten by a snake whose venom glands have been removed. Yeah. That was one of my favorite moments of the whole episode. They're like, "You're gonna have to get this knife out of a snake's mouth."
What?
And then like, and after he gets bitten, he's like, "Oh my god!" They're like, "It's okay. The venom glands are gone. You're totally fine, man. Don't worry about it. I know we call ourselves the Serpents, but we had the venom glands removed. You're good." It's like,
because we don't want you to die. We need you to like fight our fights for us.
Don't you kind of wish we had been able to see that scene?
Yeah, it's
true. Yeah, I was really bummed they cut that so short. That's definitely got to be a deleted scene somewhere,
right? You feel like he gets bitten and he blacks out, and then like cut back to, and they're all like laughing at him or something. I couldn't believe they didn't show that to us.
No doubt. I mean, I know if I was in his shoes, I'd be like freaking out once that snake bit me. Like, oh, what is happening,
Mr. Ooh? Another. Mm-hmm. Oh, you said no serpent life. No, I appreciate the serpent life. Yes, there you go. Solange Knowles. Lily Reinhardt's acting was everything in this episode. I agree.
It was. Yeah. Oh, and Dreams to Aspire wants a flashback episode with FP, Fred, Hermione, Alice, of course, ooh, as a serpent. And I'm so for that episode of a flashback. Like, yeah. I need that in my life.
We call the episode The Way We Were or something like that.
Yeah. Throwback Thursday.
Yeah, yeah, but you would have to recast Throwback Wednesday. Right?
Or they do that thing where they take the cast now and they just make them pretend to be their parents.
Oh, that'd be fun. Yeah, I would enjoy that.
Oh, that'd actually be really good.
It's clever. You should be a writer on television.
I guess I'll see you later.
Okay, right, Renji with all the snakes.
All right, so yeah, so that's the big, you know, Jughead story. So now Jughead's a serpent. Archie knows he's a serpent. And his plan, obviously, I think, is to try to unite the two sides of town and lead in his father's stead. And now you have Tony Topaz. That happened. Jopaz, if you will. She calls him Juggy at one point early in the episode. I know, we all looked at each other in that moment.
We're like, you are not Betty. Don't be using names. You ain't got the right.
I saw the look on your face. That happened. You were like, hell no.
I was upset. I was just like, you ain't known this dude for maybe a week.
Yeah.
No.
No.
No, that is Betty's name. She's been using it since they were like kindergarten. Right. Leave it alone. Juggy is hers. At least on that situation.
Yeah, but Jug's, I think he's pretty into her. I mean, she's pretty cool.
She's hot.
She is hot. I agree.
She is hot.
If you're not attracted to Tony Topaz, something is wrong with all of these
so
people.
So is Lily Reinhardt. I think he's got two strong options there. But he doesn't really have, it doesn't really so have an what? Option in Betty at the moment, because she wants nothing to do with him, because she'd prefer to go meet the caller in a house by herself.
That's right.
So
no, I'm sorry. She just doing too many teen horror films for me.
Well, because the deal is when she strikes with the Black Hood is that for everything that she does for him, he will answer a question for her.
Right.
But just sets the tone right off the bat. It's like, ask me any question except for who I am.
Right.
And then I like that at the end of the episode, Betty just like, nah, I just got to go. I got to ask the question you told me not to. Who are you? I'm like, all right, I don't know.
Right. Yeah, he's like, go to a house by yourself. She's like,
nice voice, man. That's good.
That's awesome. So, anyway, Jughead and Tony Topaz, I'm okay with it for a few episodes, Jopaz. I'm a little disappointed in Jughead because I think that, you're single for like 3 hours and you decide to cheat on your girlfriend? I don't know. It's the whole friends we were on a break thing, right? It's like, you're going to get yourself in real trouble, man, because if you guys try to reconcile and Jopaz is a thing, even if it is for a couple episodes, I mean, I don't know. What do you think? Are you a Bughead lover? I didn't know.
I don't know where I stand on this whole thing now. I just feel like it's going to crush Betty, and that's what makes me sad when she finds out, because you know she will.
She's going to be broken. She's going to try to... Whose arms is she going to cry in?
Archie's.
Right. Exactly.
But the thing with decisions you make... You have to deal with the consequences of the decisions you make.
Right.
But I'm a little upset with Jughead in the fact that you just took Archie's word for gospel. If you're really who we think you are, Jughead Jones, talk to Betty. Like, look her in her eye.
Right.
Because you know she's in with the Black Hood. It could just... You need more information. You're all about learning the truth and knowing about things. You need to know some more stuff, dude.
True, but some things when somebody tells you something that you are already fearing yourself, you're more easy to buy into it. Like, yeah, that does sound... I have those fears that Betty would think that way of me, so I will just assume that is true.
Yeah, I don't know. That's right. Like, I kind of would be a little excited for Jughead to go down the path of darkness right now, because, like, he's hurt. He feels betrayed by his best friend and by his girlfriend. He's got this new hottie in Tony Topaz. He's got a new gang of friends. He's tamed the snake and hot dog. He's got like this whole crew, and he's trying to, you know, be a diplomat effectively. And I like the idea of him going down the dark path for a little bit and maybe being like, you guys all bailed on me. And he's pissed. And maybe, you know, at the end of this part of the season, they kind of reconcile. But that might happen. This might not be a short-lived thing. He might be off the grid for a little while.
Yeah.
Right? Maybe.
Yeah.
He's a serpent now.
That's true. I mean, I feel like that's a hard thing to walk back. Yeah. Because, like, once you've been initiated into a gang, it's not that easy to, like, nah, you guys, that was fun for a few weeks. I'm going to head back to my old life, guys.
Right. Well, the other thing, too, though, is, like, and I thought this was interesting, when he walks out to the, he's hanging with Sweet Pea for a second, and he's like, was that a pipe bomb? So there's, like, certain things that happen on this show, and this is what I was sort of talking about, is, like, everything is, like, kind of equal. It's, like, right on the surface of, like, a teen drama show until a couple lines get crossed, right? So the Cheryl stuff we're going to talk about in a second is, like, that gets a little too close to home. That starts to feel like, that's a real thing. Or a pipe bomb that would be blown up by some, like, scoundrels in high school. That's, like, something we've seen on the news that's horrible. Like, not to say that, like, the plot lines that happen that are much more friendly are not real. They're just, like, you watch them and you laugh and you turn it off. Like, as soon as I saw something about the pipe bomb, I was like, oh, God. If that goes off in like a building and there's anyone around, it just starts to feel like the serpents are not something that I want any of my characters I like to be around or associated with. It's just like, that's gross. That's not fun anymore. Like, get that away from me. You know what I mean?
Although, their plan, though, to throw it at the newspaper. I'm like, well, we only know that really Hal and Alice worked there. So it's not like...
You're right.
Yeah.
It was a building, not a person.
Yeah. Like, Alice can still sit at home with her laptop and still crank out stories against you.
Yeah. Wait, what does it say?
Betty is a virgin, so Havoc, will say she's safe.
Is that confirmed that Betty is a virgin on the show?
She should be, but technically, Sydney lost her virginity and still kicked the killer's ass 4 movies. So the virgin thing, kind of iffy.
Oh, you're talking about horror rules? Asking on the show if that was a thing that we were supposed to know that I didn't know.
But I'm pretty sure she's supposed to, because, you know, Betty's supposed to be the girl next door, the wholesome.
Right.
And she was supposed to almost go with Jughead. It just didn't happen because the serpents came. So right. I think we can safely say she probably is still a virgin.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
So let's get into this last bit of the show, which is the plot line with this guy, Nikki St. Clair. Great name, by the way, just like Cheryl said.
A very pompous name, but okay.
Yeah, he shows up. The first second I saw him, I was pretty sure that they were going to make him a gay character. I don't know why. That was before he even opened his mouth. I like the way that they set the scene. I was like, oh, interesting. He's going to... And they completely... I just was dead wrong, obviously.
The way that Veronica kind of set it up, it's like we'd have fun and we'd flirt, but we never did anything.
Right, exactly. And I thought that was going to be like this interesting thing. They took it in a totally different direction, and he was like very villainous. Definitely like a villain character. I always have a small problem when there's characters like this that show up that are so one-sided that just like don't really do anything to make you feel like this character's redeemable. But... from the beginning, he's just the worst, and he brings out the worst in Veronica, and, you know, he's doing coke, and he's, like, just... And Archie's just not into it.
Archie is so not into it.
Yeah, this guy was just walking all over Archie, right? And I was thinking, what's the point of lifting all those weights if you can't kick this dude's ass, right? There's early parts in the episode where I kind of wanted Archie to just stand up and just grab the guy by the neck, right? Like, yeah. I don't know. I mean... It's high school. You can get away with stuff like that.
That's true.
I wanted him to just speak up. Like, you're all, like, I want, like, people in the chat to say, Warpath Archie. Dude, you have a voice. Use it. Like, why are you being so silent? Like, your mouth works. Why are you, like, I know you're not really intimidated by him because he's skinny as hell, but come on now.
I feel like he's just so, like, we all hear about Veronica's life, but seeing more of a part of it just was, like, kind of a shock to a lot of them. I think they're all like, wow, like, all the stories you're telling, like, we're seeing them kind of come to life now through Nick, and this old kind of side of you that you always talk about is, like, coming out. So I think everyone was just kind of a little taken back in a way.
True. It's one thing to hear about somebody's bad girl past, but then to see her, like, do a bump with Nick, you're like, whoa.
She's right. Like, it's just a ghost from my bad girl past, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That should be a movie.
Yeah, right? I liked the way that scene was set up, though. It was definitely one of those fun, everybody, you know, partying in slow-mo scenes. Yeah. Yeah. It's always kind of funny. So this guy just sucks. He's, you know, he's the worst.
Did you buy his moment of, like, when he apologized to Veronica?
No.
Well, the thing about that character...
I did for a second.
Really?
I was like, and then I was like, wait, no, this is too good to be true.
Well, the reason you know is that he says to her, the like in the first two interactions, he uses the phrase, "I won't take no for an answer." It's one of the first things he says to Veronica about anything. I think he's talking about the party, "I won't take no for an answer." And the second you hear that character say that in the context of this episode, you knew exactly where they were. I knew exactly where they were going. I knew that was going to be the big thing at the end of the episode. It was either going to be with Veronica or with someone else. And because it hadn't happened and we were getting in the second half of the episode, there was no way that he was going to be... That was just a ruse. I knew that something... And it being Cheryl was, like, definitely a little surprising, but it makes a little bit more sense because at that point he had sort of tried with Veronica and it wasn't going to happen. And Cheryl was, like, way too into him, so it just, I think, in his mind, that was the easy target, but...
But the thing with that is either you're very insecure about yourself, the fact that you can just maybe assume that you probably were going to get something from Cheryl anyway without the use of drugs, and you actually need drugs to actually be a man about yourself to go the distance with a girl, but she has to be drugged for you to...
No, I think you have to just... He's a predator.
And he's a predator, too, but, like, it's like, it has to be on the spectrum of that, too. Like, he's some little boy scared up in his body or something, like, where he just can't get it.
Whatever the psychology is behind that guy is awful, but, I mean, he's 100% a predator, and then, like, what... The logic of what you're saying of, like, him thinking he could, like, hook up with Cheryl sober is, like, not the point. He's like, obviously... Like I said, the earlier line of saying, like, "I won't take no for an answer" is, like, very obvious what his intention is.
Yeah.
I mean, he drugs her, even, like, you know what I mean? That was my opinion, was, like, he's pretty clearly put in place to be a villain in that way, which, like I said, bridges into this territory that it, like, and it's very interesting the way they're using this for the end of the episode. I thought that was the most interesting twist in the whole episode, right?
Yeah.
Is that basically you have this whole moment where all the girls kick his ass and you're like, this is great. Moment of redemption. You know, we get what we want. Cheryl's like, I want to press charges. You know, I want him to burn. You're like, okay. And then Betty drops the line, this is this dude. And so that was, like, very interesting to me. I thought that was a great moment.
I was happy.
Yeah. Well,
I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I'm sorry, dude. You seriously tried to con and threaten and bully your way into Veronica's pants, and then you actually drug Cheryl. I'm sorry, I have no sympathy.
Definitely. I mean, I'm not going to say he doesn't deserve to die. I just mean in the episode, that's going to, because, like, how is that all going to play out, right? That's what I'm trying to figure out is,
he going to use that against her. You already know.
Well, motive, right? So, like, is he going to take responsibility for killing this dude? Like, that's the crazy part. That's what I was trying to figure out.
I feel like he's going to set Betty up to, like, be that fall person. Like, in the fact that Betty gave me a name.
Right.
I took it. If, like, she ever kind of betrays him or he feels like she's not loyal to him, he can always use that against her.
That is very true.
Right. Yeah, I do wonder. He knows where, you know, he knows that Archie's talking to Betty. He knows where Polly is. Like, do we have, I guess we probably in a couple minutes here will do predictions. We can talk about our theories of who this guy is. But I would say that I still agree with what we talked about in the last couple of weeks, that this will be the plot line for the first half of the season.
Yeah.
It feels like it'll probably stretch another 6 episodes-ish.
You know? I could see that. I couldn't see it going the whole season. I feel like that would be the course that it's taking right now. If they wanted to go 22 episodes with it, I'd be like...
Yeah, it would get old.
Yeah.
Well, Betty has to become a real character again. And she, right now, she's, like, not part of the story. She's just living in her own little... Torture chamber, exactly. Exactly. So maybe, unless I'm missing anything crucial in the episode, there's the stuff with Veronica's parents, and definitely in Fred and Hermione, but I think it was all pretty peripheral. None of that stuff really jumped out at me.
I don't know if you, like, mentioned this for last week's episode, but, like, the fact that Archie's going through PTSD.
Justin, what do you mean?
Like, from last week's episode, like, obviously they haven't really addressed it in this one, because he kind of is not that focused on the Black Hood. In the sense of, like, I'm trying to get you, but, like, he's suffering from, like, PTSD.
Because of his dad getting shot? Yeah, definitely. And that's, like, it's totally informing a lot of his decision-making, and he's all over the place.
But I thought it was the, because at the top of the episode with Hiram, when he and Hermione and Veronica are sitting there in the office, and Hermione's reading the newspaper to him.
Yeah.
And he, for somebody that in the last episode was like, I'm loving all this chaos. When we've got all this chaos that Alice is stirring up in this paper, he's like, man, way to go, Alice Cooper. What are you doing? I'm like, aren't you, isn't this what you wanted? Wait a minute, I don't quite understand.
Yeah, right. Did we think that there was anything at all to, like, do you think Fred knows what's going on? Do you think he knows they're up to no good? I feel like he probably does, right?
He's got, well, you know he's not going to trust him any further than he can throw him.
Yeah. No. Not at this point. I don't know. Any other thoughts from our side of the table on what we were just talking about? Anything we missed?
No, I think well, the going like way back to Jughead and Tony, yeah. I think there's going to be a lot more with Jughead's dad. Wow, that took me a while. Yeah. I was like really thinking about it. Because I feel like maybe Tony and him are close or something. I don't know. Just the fact that she mentioned, like, your dad, like, she was the one that brought it up, and he, like, reiterated it later.
Right.
I'm just interested to see how more of that plays out.
Right.
I hope there's kind of something more to it. I don't know why.
Well, because we haven't seen the interaction between Jughead and his dad where he tells him he's become a serpent, which is obviously... Yeah. That's going to be, like, that's a big moment we're waiting for, right?
Yeah, and I don't know how Fred's going to, or I mean, FP's going to take that.
Yeah, I agree. I think, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and we're really, and we're kind of slow burning the lawyer as well, too. I'm waiting for that shoe to drop. Right. The lawyer's going to call back for that favor.
Yeah, big time. Big time. Can we talk about just, like, the fact that all of our main characters other than Betty used drugs in the episode? That was sort of surprising. Archie, peer pressure, fully.
Yeah. I
didn't see that coming.
Well, I think it's more just him trying to show Veronica that he could be as, you know...
That he can hang?
Yeah, that he can hang and
he's
that...
not a hayseed yokel.
Oh my gosh. Where is Riverdale? Because, like, we're not the country people.
Yeah.
Like, come on. I'm just like, why all the country talks? Like, we're not in the... Like, where is Riverdale, like, on a map? Somebody tell me.
Well, it's East Coast, I think.
Yeah, because he said, like, Hiram said, like, they're coming up from New York, the St. Clair's.
Yeah, I think this was, what are you assuming? It's, like, maybe, like, Pennsylvania or something like that? Is that kind of...
Or northern New York?
Oh, you think it's actually in the state of New York?
Maybe.
Okay.
Hmm. Or Connecticut or something like that?
Yeah, something like that. Within 4 or 5 hours of New York is what my guess would be.
But to get to what you're asking about the drugs, I mean, we saw... I mean, Reggie, no surprise.
Yeah.
I mean, Archie did ask Reggie for at least something to help him out, so...
Yeah.
I mean, he's not averse to using some narcotics at all.
Yeah.
And then the Pussycats, I mean, you know, they're artists, they're in a band, they're kind of wanting to have fun and have a good time.
They're, like, hanging out.
Yeah.
Is Val still there? Am I just missing it?
Yeah, all three were there. They even sang a little bit on the out tonight. You just don't see that part because somebody's getting beat up on a different scene when they do it, but they're there.
They have just completely 100% and totally abandoned any of, like, fallout, chemistry, anything of Archie and Val. They, like, don't even show them looking at each other. That's, like, a thing. They were, like, dating. They're just hanging out, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm. And now, like, nothing.
There's nothing. Yeah, that makes sense. TV.
We dated. I said what I said to you at a party.
Yeah, right.
We're good. I guess.
They weren't that serious. It was a short-lived thing.
But that's like one of those, like their senior year. Like somebody that's new to school, and then they find out, like, the lay of the land. Like, oh, yeah, they used to date. Really? I would never have thought.
Never guessed. Yeah, exactly. No. Right, right.
Yeah.
All right, guys, let's get into our predictions for the episode next week.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
All right. We did forget to mention the It Girl. That was great. I loved when Cheryl walked up and used that line. Yes. I'm Riverdale's resident It Girl. Cheryl, that was great. That was one of my favorite lines. All right, so predictions. Let's just, first off, who do we think Black Hood is? What are our guesses?
The son of Alice Cooper.
You think it's the long-lost brother?
Yes, because the green eyes, like Betty's eyes are green. I can't remember what color eyes Polly's is. I kind of don't care right now because she's 2 hours away, but... Those eyes are distinctively green, and there's no reason to show that much distinction to an eye color if it doesn't come into play later.
Gotcha.
Wasn't it like Chick? Was that supposed to be his name?
I think? Chip.
Yeah, something like that. But yeah, I definitely agree with that. I mean, it seems to make sense. Although it just starts to question his other motives, sort of like Miss Grundy, for whether it was Archie that was the intended target and Fred got shot. Who knows about that one yet?
The whole sin, the whole like sin angle. I don't know if the brother could have been in attendance at the town hall meeting unless he was, like, fully in disguise without Alice and Lachlan, right?
Bunch of, but he was given up for adoption. So, I mean, who knows?
Okay. So they wouldn't recognize
him. They wouldn't recognize him. And if he was raised, like, in some kind of nunnery or something like that, then that might kind of play into, like, his strict definitions of sin and whatnot as well, too.
Yeah, I don't know. I was thinking, like... It's not possible that it's Hiram, right? Like, there's no way that...
unless he got contacts.
I mean, I feel like I like Hiram is somebody that's taking advantage of the situation, right, but is not the instigator.
Yeah, because they said that too. They're making their problem. They're profiting off the problems.
Off of the chaos. Yeah. Yeah, I guess the brother. I guess the brother does make the most sense. It would be a little. I have to say, I think it would be a little bit disappointing if that's who it was, because I think it's a little too, like, on the nose, I guess. Like, and also the fact that Betty and her boyfriend and the pregnant sister, she's just in the middle of so much drama that it just turned out to be, like, another Cooper in the middle of everything, and it's just, like, the plot line. It's like, how does she not go completely crazy? Like, how is she not just destroyed if that's the case?
She kind of crazy, but we knew that.
Yeah, Dark Betty.
I love Dark Betty. She's my favorite.
Any theories over here?
I'm with you guys. I think my big thing is, why does he want to kill Polly then?
I think it's the babies, and the Polly just happens to be carrying the babies.
Right.
Which I get. I think I'm still just, that's my, like, big hesitation with him. But I don't have anyone else that I would.
But there could be the thing, like, he is also mad at Polly because those are children that Alice kept, and he was one that she gave away.
And the fact that he says a lot that me and you are so much alike.
Right, he does say we're the same.
And put on that mask, turn around.
I was like holding the table. I was like, what's going to happen? I thought he would be there. I wanted him to be there, and he wasn't there.
Because, and I don't know, because like, that scene was cut so fast at the end. So right. She puts on the mask and looks in the mirror, and then there's like the floor creak.
And she runs.
And then she bolts.
I thought she was chasing after him.
I thought there was somebody else in the room for a second, but no. I guess it was just the way it was edited.
Yeah. Yeah. Any other predictions? Anything else that we see coming? Where do we think relationships are going to end up? How long's Tony in the show for? Get amped. I don't know.
What do we think? Some people think that Betty's dad's the Black Hood.
I was thinking that was one of my theories. But I think his eyes, you'd notice if they were like that green.
And he's not that tall.
No. No.
Height restrictions that would be
really intense.
But at least it'd be giving him something to do, because so far this season he's had zilch to do.
No, yeah. he put in a new lock on the door. He was very proactive.
Thanks, Hal.
Yeah. Anything else? What do we think? Nikki's dead. Do we think the Black Hood kills him? You think that's gonna be a thing?
Since somebody got arrested, I'm pretty sure like somebody's death in the next episode is a given. If it's Nikki's, we don't know. I'm just hoping it's not Polly's. I actually don't want the babies to die. Unfortunately, like, she didn't know about the conceiving, that was my cousin. So I feel like technically she has immunity and the fact that she just didn't know.
Right.
True.
I think that'd be tough if Nikki gets killed, because, I mean, that's going to take Betty down a rabbit hole of darkness.
Oh, yeah.
To say, like, I deliberately helped.
That's what I'm saying. They're piling so much onto Betty. Like, I really feel like she's the only one. It has, like, really significant drama that's going to, like, ruin her psychologically. So, that's my thoughts. Anything else before we get out of here?
Great way to end the episode.
Tony gets arrested next week. I'm excited to see how that goes.
Yeah, that's
and
cool.
A drag race. Okay, Grease.
Yeah,
let's do
gonna
it.
Be good. And Cheryl's, like, she's the girl. What's the name?
The Race Chaser.
Yeah, the Race Chaser. Okay. All right, guys, thanks for watching. Thanks for being a part of it. Where can the folks find you, Frank Moran, if they want to follow along with you?
You can always find me just, you know, watching Ben Bateman from afar.
It's a creepy thing to say.
That's right.
But I'll take it as a sign of your support.
Absolutely. On Twitter and Instagram at Happy Go Jackie.
Hey, guys, I'm Shay Jones. You can find me at Real Shay Jones. Thank you so much for tuning in. And you guys in the chat are so amazing and live, and I love all your theories.
Tessa, thank you so much for joining us this time. Where can the folks find you?
Thank you so much. It was awesome being here. You guys can find me at Tessa_Saval on all social media.
Excellent. And you guys can find me at Ben Bape Media, Twitter, Instagram. I'm here doing Walking Dead on Sunday nights. I hear do this on Wednesdays. And I have Action Movie Anatomy on the Popcorn Talk Network at 2 o'clock every single Wednesday. So hear us talk about the best movies of all time every week. Thanks, guys. We'll see y'all soon.
Bye. Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
See you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.